The Sky Lounge and the Cottage present The Sports Page. Before turning to highlights in the world of sports, here are some of the highlights awaiting your pleasure any night at the Cottage and the Sky Lounge. A congenial crowd, your favorite refreshments, and a clean, comfortable atmosphere. So enjoy a doubleheader of fun and recreation any evening of the week, where Chechako and Sourdough alike feel right at home, at the Cottage or upstairs at the Sky Lounge. Now, from these spots known as the friendliest in town, here are the highlights from the world of sports, your sports special. Chicago and Boston climbed into a virtual first-place tie with Brooklyn today in the National League, but tonight, one way or another, the deadlock will be broken. The Dodgers are playing an arclight tilt at Philadelphia, and if they win, the Brooks will have first place all to themselves again. If they lose, the Cubs and the Braves will be sharing the front seat. Chicago won this afternoon from Cincinnati 5-1 behind southpaw Johnny Schmitz, who bested the Reds' Johnny Vandermeer. Chicago's and Cincinnati's only run off Schmitz came in the fourth inning when Bert Haas hit his second homer of the season. The Boston Braves kept pace with Chicago as they turned back the New York Giants 6-2. A southpaw, Warren Spahn, was the winning pitcher in this one, too. Spahn pitched steady eight-hit ball and was tight in the pinches to gain his fourth win without a loss. The Braves put the game on ice in the first three innings when they shellacked starting pitcher Bill Boysell for six hits and all six of their runs. Johnny Hop and Bama Rowell had two hits each for Boston, while Bill Rigney, the league-leading hitter, had two singles and a double in four trips for the Giants. St. Louis and Pittsburgh were not scheduled today. In the American League, the Chicago White Sox stepped up into first place again as they took a 2-1 thriller from Detroit. In this one, the veteran Orville Grove pitched seven-hit ball to get the best of Detroit's ace southpaw, Hal Newhouser. The White Sox scored their first run in 27 innings in the second on hits by Lloyd Christopher and Dave Philly. New York, Washington, Boston, and Philadelphia were not scheduled today, while Cleveland is playing at St. Louis tonight. A rocket buster named Gus Zernio has added new luster to the Hollywood Stars. While the Stars aren't exactly shooting as yet, the Pacific Coast League table lists them sixth. They flashed with five runs in a ninth-inning rally last night to down the Los Angeles Angels 9-8, and thus take a two-games-to-one series lead. And it was the 220-pound Zernio who slugged one over the left field wall with two men aboard for the winning tallies. It was Big Goose's third hit of the night, bringing his batting mark to 412 for eight games, in which he has driven in 12 runs. His 14 blows since joining the Stars last week include three doubles, a triple, and two homers. The defeat did not knock the Angels out of first place, as the San Francisco Seals, tied with the Angels, also lost. The San Diego Padres edged the Seals 4-3 in 11 innings. Vince Shoup's single scored Pete Coscarret with the winning run. And while the leaders were slipping, third-place Sacramento also skidded, taking a 10-2 shellacking from Portland. Beaver left-hander Roy Helser whiffed nine and scattered seven blows, while his mates touched Ken Holcomb for 13. The win brought fifth-place Portland up to 500 and only three games behind the pace setters. In the cellar battle between seventh-place Oakland and the last-place Seattle team, the Oaks nabbed another 11-inning thriller on Les Scarcelli's triple, scoring Ray Hamrick. It was a tough loss for Walt Dubiel, who allowed but five hits while his mates made 11 off three flingers, but couldn't bunch them. Besides Scarcella's payoff poke, however, Dubiel made the mistake of serving up home run balls to Mel Dozebo and Vince DiMaggio. Billy Southworth, manager of the Boston Braves, tried seven ex-members of the world champion St. Louis Cardinals in his lineup last year and wound up in fourth place. This year, Billy's branched out a bit, and the spark in his quest for a Beantown flag comes from the seventh-place Pittsburgh Pirates of 1946, and his name is Bob Elliott. Playing against his former mates yesterday, Elliott banged out two doubles and two singles and drove in four runs yesterday to lead the Braves to a 12-5 win over the Bucks in Boston. Elliott was joined by rookie first baseman Earl Torgerson, who hammered out his third home run in as many games to aid Johnny Beasley in gaining the verdict. Beasley was making his first start for the Braves since his purchase from the Cardinals 2 weeks ago. The Braves now have a record of 11 wins and 6 defeats, the same as Chicago's. Brooklyn, with 10 victories and 5 defeats, is even in games won and lost, but still retains the top post by 20 percentage points. The Cubs swept a doubleheader from the Phils in Philadelphia, each by one-run margins. After winning the opener 2-1 behind the 9-hit pitching of Hank Wise, the Bruins staged a 6-run, 8th-inning rally in the nightcap to overcome an early Philadelphia lead and went on to win 8-7. Andy Pathko's 2-run homer, his third of the season, climaxed the rally. Harry the Cat Brechin, hero of the 1946 World Series, pitched the Cardinals to a 5-1 victory over the Dodgers in the first night game of the season at Ebbets Field to enable St. Louis to take the rubber game of the 3-game series. The Boston Red Sox moved within a half game of the top in the American League by defeating the Chicago White Sox 3-0. In absorbing their second straight shutout, the White Sox relinquished the league lead to the idle Detroit Tigers by 12 percentage points. The Philadelphia Athletics handed the St. Louis Browns their sixth straight defeat, 5-3, under the light at St. Louis to bury the Browns deeper into the American League cellar. Henry Majeski, who won Wednesday's game with a home run, drove in 2 runs to help Phil Marchilden gain his second mound win. Ace relief pitcher Ken Trinkle won his third straight game with the help of rookie Bobby Thompson as the New York Giants came up with 3 runs in the 8th inning to subdue Cincinnati at the Polo Grounds 7-4. Cold weather halted the New York Yankees and Cleveland Indians as well as Washington and Detroit. Baltimore. A field of 11 horses, among them Derby winner Jet Pilot and 6 of the gallopers who chased him home in the Kentucky Classic last week, were entered today to run tomorrow in the 57th Preakness, the second jewel of the Triple Crown. The top 5 Derby finishers, Jet Pilot, Phalanx, Faultless, Entrust, and Cosmic Bomb, all were named to run the mile and 3/16 for the Black Eyed Susans, along with Bulletproof and Riskolator, who were 7th and 11th last week. Rounding out the field were the Canadian campaigner, Cornish Knight, the Texas-owned Giant, Contest, the Louisville Undertaker's horse, King Bay, a New York-owned hopeful, with a lot of front run in him. With 11 to go, the gross Preakness pot will be $138,140, about $1,500 short of the hoped-for world's record gross payroll for a horse race. So goes the sports news, brought to you by those friendly spots where the crowds go, the Cottage and the Sky Lounge. The friendly atmosphere, the comfortable appointments, the refreshments will make a hit with you, too, whether you're a chichaco or a sourdough. So remember, sports fans, when you go out for fun in Fairbanks, pick a winner. Step into the Cottage or upstairs to the Sky Lounge, where friends meet friends and make new ones. Tomorrow night, same time, listen for more highlights from the world of sports. The Sports Page, brought to you by the Cottage and the Sky Lounge.
As another service to its thousands of Alaskan friends, the Bank of Fairbanks invites you to listen to Tundra Topics, a nightly report on what your Alaskan friends in other parts of the territory are doing. News has reached Fairbanks that the venerable Reverend Frederick W. Goodman, 77-year-old Episcopal Archdeacon Emeritus of Arctic Alaska, was stricken fatally with a heart attack in Seattle on Saturday afternoon. He was famed for his missionary work with the native peoples of northern Alaska from 1925 until about 5 years ago. Among the publications that brought him widespread attention was an Eskimo language translation of the Episcopal Prayer Book. Before coming to Alaska, the Venerable Reverend Goodman served in churches in Canada and many parts of the United States. His headquarters here in Alaska were for many years at Tagara, Point Hope. By way of ACS communication from Charles Clements of Stevens Village, Tundra Topics hears that a fire of undetermined origin destroyed the home of Johnny Smoke early yesterday morning. The house had been occupied since Saturday morning when Horace Smoke and Lee Kallock left for the Smoke's other residence at Dall River. The fire was discovered by Lucy John at 6 a.m. when the interior was completely aflame and had gained too much headway to stop it. The house was a complete loss. The Pioneer Women of Alaska are now considering extending the eligibility date for membership to December 31st, 1915, excepting women who arrived in the territory prior to that time, according to Mrs. Jess Rust, secretary of the organization. The subject was brought up for discussion during the regular meeting of the Pioneer Women in Fairbanks. Pioneers welcomed back after a long vacation outside were Mrs. Leo Rogie and Mrs. Frank Dunham. Harold Peterson, who managed the Mount McKinley Hotel last summer, will fill the same position again this year, announced Alaska Railroad officials. During the winter months, Peterson manages the railroad hotel at Healy. Assisting him at McKinley Park this summer will be John Witkowski, a railroad employee at the commissary in Anchorage. The McKinley summer season opens on June 10th and will extend through September 15th. In addition to regular train schedules to the Park Hotel, the railroad will also run special excursions. Additional news from the McKinley Park informs us that Charles S. Wilson of the Bureau of Entomology and Plant Quarantine spent a few days there in connection with his mosquito control work in the hotel and park area. And Mrs. Albert Bernard, well-known resident of Fairbanks, has visited with Mr. and Mrs. John C. Ramore of McKinley Park. According to a recent news release, there's a possibility that plans for airport weather stations in several Alaskan points will be dropped because of a cut in CAA appropriations. Those affected by the possible cut are Big Delta, Gustavus, Cochrane's, Moses Point, Naknek, Nulato, Nunavak, Unalakleet, and Yakutat. After 6 years outside, Frank Moncher has returned to the territory and was seen in Anchorage last week, where he stopped en route to Bethel. Moncher's father formerly operated a trading post at Bethel, and Jimmy Johnston, a partner of the Johnson Osnes mine at Marshall, accompanied by Nellie Johansson, who will cook for the outfit, have arrived at Marshall to join the rest of the camp. Miner James Reckner left Anchorage last week for Flat, and W.E. Pinnell, who spent the winter mining and trapping at Valdez Creek, was a recent visitor in Anchorage. And Hal Marshbanks of Naknek, Mr. and Mrs. B.R. Holzman, and they're of Port Hyden, and Mrs. R. Johnson of Dillingham were seen in the Cook Inlet City, along with Douglas Shepherd of Bethel and Mr. and Mrs. Ted W. Ross of the CAA at Squintna. Here in Fairbanks, John Ogries of Flat was discharged from St. Joseph's Hospital on Saturday. On this week's Here's a Pioneer program, scheduled for Wednesday at 7:30, George Preston will be the pioneer interviewed, and not Fred DeRocher, as previously reported. DeRocher will be heard on the following Wednesday's Here's a Pioneer. We repeat, Mr. George Preston at 7:30 next Wednesday, then Fred DeRocher 1 week from next Wednesday. These Tundra topics are designed to keep you abreast of the activities of friends and neighbors in other parts of the territory. It's another service the Bank of Fairbanks is always happy to extend to its friends and patrons in Alaska. For that courteous, friendly interest and advice on financial matters, visit or write the Bank of Fairbanks, and for information of interest throughout the territory, tune in for Tundra Topics again tomorrow night at 9:30.